Alright, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 487. I'm your host, GPD, here in Long Island, New York. And as always, we are joined by a man who's comfortable with the idea of this show being a complete failure, Wombat.
And that is so true.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with being understatement in that one.
So comfortable you're in your underwear right now.
Pretty much. I'm in a pair of shorts that are pretty much just waistband at this point.
That's so disgusting. I'm sorry I even brought up your underwear in the first place.
Well, I am wearing underwear, but I put shorts over them, but they're really not like shorts anymore.
Why don't you throw them out and get some shorts?
Because I like my ripped up shorts.
I don't know. Are these like a pair of Umbros?
They're not. They're Champion shorts. They might as well be the same concept.
They're like Chinese knockoff Umbros.
I think I got them at Target.
Chumbros?
The C9 brand, I believe, here.
Yeah, I believe they would be C9s. So.
Nice.
I'm quite familiar with my Target brands.
Mm-hmm.
Did you pick up Garth Brooks while you're there?
You know, it's funny. I was in Target again on Sunday, and I still have not found them in my Target, despite the fact that Brickseek says that there's like 200 of them somewhere. It's very weird to me.
You think they just gave
like
up?
I feel like you're just walking past them repeatedly.
Maybe.
I'm really bad at this.
Maybe I just have Garth blinders on.
How could you miss 200 box sets of Garth
I don't
Brooks?
Know. Maybe it's they just possible. Put them in the back. They may have, they could have done that. Like they're
they
just
gave up.
They're not even going to try to sell them, you're thinking.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They said they'll make more money putting anything else there. Literally.
And that, probably, that's... Yeah. That's
probably
what I
a
think,
throne
yes.
in the back. They all, mm-hmm. all the employees, you know, when they take their break, they take a turn sitting on the Garth Brooks throne.
On the Garth Brooks throne, yes.
It's like the throne made out of Famicom games at Super Potato.
Right. Mm-hmm. That fell apart. I don't know if that's still... Last I saw it, you weren't allowed to sit on it anymore because it
right.
was in pieces.
Yeah, that was... I think when I visited you, you weren't allowed to sit on it.
Oh.
I sat on it, but...
Rebel.
Come get me, Super Potato. Guess what? I also took pictures in your store.
Ah, Super Potato.
They doing all right? They still kicking it over there? Have they run out of games yet?
No, I think there's always games to be had.
That's
insane. To be marked up and sold at the highest price possible.
It's just insane to me that they can just like have a constant flow of... Perfect quality, complete retro games.
But it's because of the Japanese market. The people take care of their stuff there. So when somebody comes across a game like that, and even if it was just, you know, they didn't think it was anything special, even when they had it when they were younger, they probably took care of it. And it just it's a circle. Like they can, if they need money, they'll sell it back to a trade-in shop, get a good price for it, and you know the next guy's going to take care of it too because maybe he wants to sell it back. They know they'll always be able to. So the same thing with cars there. You'd always see a lot of older sort of quasi-exotic cars like Maseratis because the second-hand market was strong and people took good care of their stuff.
I was thinking like you're going to go with like Acura for your semi-exotic car. Maserati.
I'll tell you one thing. I mean, no one's going to care about this unless you care about cars. And even then, it's highly unlikely. But I noticed that here in New York, I see a lot of the new Maseratis. Mm-hmm. But in Tokyo, you would see the older ones all over the place, like everywhere, almost like Camrys. But I think it was because, you know, they were basically shitty cars. They'd break. But people would try to take care of them, and there was just a big secondhand market for them. So you could pick up one relatively, well, not cheap, but whatever. People would spend their money anyway. Yeah, they were everywhere, and they made a good noise. I don't know what the point was there. But mostly my displeasure about the new Maseratis not making a good noise, I think.
Write them a letter.
Well, you know, they don't want to sell the cars with the big engines. You need a big engine to make a good noise or like a good exhaust package.
You think that with today's technology, they could like fabricate engine noise?
They do that in some cars to, like in the BMW M5, it used to have a really big engine in it, and now they wanted to downsize that to get better gas mileage. It doesn't make a good noise, so they basically fabricate the noise, and it comes in through the stereo speakers.
Do they like a baseball card in the spokes?
Well, some like car enthusiasts don't like that, and they basically think that that's what they're doing, and they don't want any part of that. They want at least be able to turn it off, and I don't think that you could. I don't know. that's what's happening in cars now. The engines are getting smaller, and they don't make as good a sound anymore. That's why I would like those Teslas, but I mean, I do like the Teslas, but
they don't make any noise.
They don't make any noise. Why?
That's like driving a rice cooker.
Right. I mean, someone's got to make like a box and a speaker out the back, and you can just dial up any car. But then that's kind of lame. That's like super lame. Mm-hmm. But it might be funny to make it like an old timey car sound. You know, like a jalopy. Yeah. While you're going 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. It'd be pretty cool. Hey, speaking of cars, Wombat.
Yeah.
I bought another stupid smart thing.
Why?
For my smart house. I actually have a good reason for this. So I bought one of these smart garage add-on things for your garage door. These. I mean, I would find that because my garage doesn't lead directly into the house, like I have to go outside the garage and go into the front door, sometimes I would forget to close the garage door because the button on the inside of the garage is a little sticky and whatever. It's a big, heavy garage door. I don't want it falling out on me. I want to be out of there when I push the button. Anyway, so I would forget to close the door, and you don't want that. You're like animals coming in there and shit. So I bought this thing for $100 called the MyQ something, MyQ Garage by Chamberlain. I don't know. But it's a little box that sticks on the back of the door. Is that what you have?
Same basic idea. It has a little box with like an accelerometer type thing in there. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You just stick it on. It has a little tape and you stick it onto the door. Mm-hmm. And then there's another box that like a hub and that just plugs into the wall somewhere. They say to mount it on the ceiling, but I just put it on the wall because I don't want to do that. Anyway, it works great. You have an app. It'll send you a push notification if you leave the garage door open for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You can customize it any way you want. So basically, you'll never forget to close your fucking garage door again if you buy this thing for $100. And then, of course,
great.
You can.
It's great, like for when you've left the house too, and like, did I remember to shut the garage door?
Exactly.
And then you can't. And you're like, yep.
Yeah.
I remember to do that every day of my life, but now I don't have to worry about it.
Does yours send you a push notification?
Yeah. Mine will send push notifications. We also have it set to close at a certain time, like when it gets dark.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sounds like the same thing. Anyway, my dad, I bought this thing and I told my dad about it, and he was like, what do you need that for? It's, you know, that sounds really stupid. And then I told him why I needed it, like I just told you.
Because you're really stupid.
No, and he's like, actually, that would come in handy.
It's actually one of the, my most used smart devices that I have in my house.
It's basically not that smart, which is probably why it's good. Like, it's not trying to do too much. It's doing... It's actually solving a problem.
It doesn't like tell you the temperature inside your garage right, when you're not home.
Right. Exactly. I noticed that it has, at least the one that I have, you can't really integrate it into Alexa. And I think they do that on purpose. They're worried about people like it going opening or closing inadvertently. I know that when it closes via the thing, the hub makes a lot of noise and flashes lights, so make sure no one gets hit by the door, even though it's supposed to have a safety thing. The door, that is. Anyway, I like it. MyQ Garage something. Smart Garage.
That was very exciting.
It's got an Apple Watch app, too, for it. If you weren't excited before, then surely you are now.
I am shocked that you were able to live without this as long as you did. I actually thought you had something on your garage, a smart something on your garage door for like a couple of years now. So I'm surprised it took this long.
A couple of years? I've lived here for 1 year, exactly.
Yeah, I assumed you bought it when you were living in Manhattan.
Just to get ready?
Uh-huh.
No.
I wish I had a speaker on it to welcome me home, though, like when I got out of my car.
Yeah, that's what, like Wombat says, it doesn't do any of that stuff, and which is why it's good. It's just not trying to solve problems that don't exist, basically.
You don't want to feel welcome when you pull into your garage, you get out from work?
That's why I procreated.
My house is really nice, but the garage is the... I do not feel welcome when I pull into that garage. I feel in danger from... The rails of the garage door are basically at my eye level. So, and they're, you know, I don't know, 50 years old. I don't know how old they are, but they don't look like smooth and shiny. They're like rough and rusty. So I don't really want to be stabbed by that. And also spiders. A lot of spider webs too. Maybe I do need that voice. That would be helpful. Or clean the garage. All right, how about some show feedback? Enough of this nonsense.
Sure. Kavnam has to say, I thought curbing your dog was a pretty common law.
It is.
So, yeah, clean up after your dog. Also, excellent intro music, and that Circle of Life parody was awesome, GP. Lots of compliments on GP's fine, weird GPD's fine parody work.
Thank you. I got a lot of Twitter compliments as well.
Yes.
That song's not really in my range, so I feel like I
couldn't tell. I thought you had hired out Elton John to sing that.
This is like the direct-to-video version guy that I hired. Yeah, I wish it was like something from Aladdin, maybe.
Elton John.
John Elton, I think his name was. Maybe something from Aladdin, or even maybe some of the other songs from The Lion King, but not that song. That song's just way too high for me. And I even pitched it down, but it didn't help much. Plus, it's not like...
I can't wait to be king. Go.
I could see that I could do. I could probably... Maybe I should just do like a whole opera of GameStop Circle of Life program with every song in The Lion King. Then people would really hate their lives, I feel. What else we got here?
Sure. Surfer Boy has to say, via Kotaku, Valve is making 3 full VR games. He goes on to say, can't wait to hear the logical gymnastics you guys go through next week to explain this. After explicitly saying multiple times that no AAA developer is going to make a full VR game. So how do you respond to that, Mr. GPD?
I don't think that we ever said no AAA developer is going to make a full VR game.
I probably did. I can still stick the landing on this if he wants me to do something.
No, I know. There's a lot of ways. I'm doing like somersaults and what I don't know really. I can't name anything. Pommel horse? Is that?
Yeah, you're doing a pommel horse.
Let me get on the pommel horse. Hold on. I think we never said they're not going to make a AAA VR game. I think that's the argument. I don't think someone's spending, you know, $80 million making a VR game. I mean, we've seen AAA developers make VR games before.
We have?
Yeah, we got Criterion made the that Star Wars VR. I mean, I guess it's not a full VR game.
Those are like modes.
Right.
Well,
that's not a game.
To the point that he's saying, it is a AAA developer making a VR game isn't necessarily going to be making a triple A VR game. Right. What?
My whole argument why I would have ever said this is that people aren't going to spend the resources that they would spend on a normal game to go make a VR game. They're going to make a normal game. They're going to put it on as many platforms as possible, or they're going to sign a licensing deal. But also Valve doesn't count because they have skin in this game.
Yes, they have their own hardware. Yeah, they have their own hardware, so... Of course, you know, they have to make something for it. But as Gabe said today, via businessinsider.com. We're comfortable with the idea that VR will turn out to be a complete failure. So,
but look, look at Valve. I mean, Valve.
Why should I be confident if they're not?
Well, not just that, but Gabe has made a lot of money. He's a billionaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a privately held company.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care if it makes money or not. So yeah, he could actually spend that type of money. Fine, we're wrong. There's one guy who could do it, and it's Gabe, because he doesn't care about really making money. He would spend. I mean, I don't know what he would feel comfortable.
Well,
spending.
If it doesn't make money, then it's not a success.
No. So. No, what are you talking about? No. If he's got the money to spend on a game just because he wants mm-hmm. to make it.
Yeah, then it's his prerogative. That's him just.
Sure.
It's like a regular person buying a boat.
I did not predict that, Surfer Boy. I yield to you. I
do not. I think if he is clearly taking something the wrong way, if I have said.
Richard Branson could also come forward and say, I love VR now, and I'm just going to start financing AAA VR games because I love it and I don't care about making money.
But he's not saying
a specific interest in this. Like, because if it takes off, hey, guess what? We have the platform where all the games are on.
I have a dumb question. I know it's been a while, but since Valve has really made a game,
uh-huh.
right? Are they still technically a AAA developer? Like how many game? How recently do you have to have made a AAA game?
Every game they've done is whatever AAA means. It applies to their games.
But how long?
You don't lose it. You don't lose that.
It's not a thing you lose. It's not like you have to like make at least one game a year in order to maintain your AAA status. Like I have a AAA card in my wallet, and I have to renew that every year. It's not the same.
This is not like a table tennis ranking. You don't have to participate in a certain number of tournaments.
Okay. Just curious. Also, I'm very curious to see if these games ever come out. You know,
didn't they have a game recently?
I don't know. I'm asking the question. I honestly don't know.
Aren't they Dota? Is that them?
Is that them?
Yes.
Or something like it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dota 2. Pretty popular game, Wombat. I think they're a AAA developer.
All right, just checking. But that came out like 3 years ago, didn't it?
Okay.
Right. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. He's not arguing this, Chip. He's not arguing this.
No, I'm not arguing it at all. I don't think I was.
It's dead. It's dead, Jim.
VR.
VR is miserable.
Gabe probably also owns Jets.
And if you own VR and you're happy with it, then by all means, live it up.
Yeah.
So.
I still stand by my original statement, but with an addendum that if you are a billionaire and you just decide you want to make like art or whatever, then yeah. You should make, you know, why doesn't somebody make a like nonprofit game publisher? One of these super rich guys.
What kind of games?
Just to publish games that aren't concerned about making money. More artistic style games. Like, let's say, like Rez 2, for example. You know, we haven't really... That doesn't seem to be something that's happening. And it's certainly... Nobody would argue against it being artistic. I don't know. And how much could it really cost to make a game like that? It's not like you know, we're doing the next Grand Theft Auto game here. I don't know. Just throwing that out there, Gabe, or someone else. Who's someone else?
But shouldn't like a nonprofit, isn't that supposed to like give, I guess you're saying the art would be the...
Yeah, of course. It's like an endowment, an arts foundation. Yeah.
Well, we're not going to have government grants for endowments anymore. So
this is a private, privately funded.
Smoke.
We're privately funded. We're not funded by the government. I mean, I'm not involved in this. I'm talking
about... It sounds like this is your thing. GPD Games.
Right. How about the guy from Turn 10 who just bought that Ford GT for $400,000?
Sure.
He could probably make Rez 2. Anyway. Talking a lot about cars this week. Exciting. All right. What else we got here? Where are we? Still in show feedback? No, we're done with that.
No,
shit.
We're done with show feedback.
All right, we're on to watch this, bitches. A lot of stuff here. It's exciting. I saw John Wick 2 with Mrs. Chibi this weekend. Did you guys see the first one?
Yes.
No.
What?
I didn't see it.
Why not?
You're busy. I heard that there was a scene with a dog, and then I knew I couldn't watch it.
Right.
With Mrs. Shipwreck.
Yeah, it's like the driving force behind the movie, basically.
Right. And so then I just never got around to watching it by myself.
Wombat, did you like the first one?
I did like the first one, yes, very much.
So the second one is exactly like the first one, except with less plot or maybe more plot holes.
Dogs,
a new dog. We got a new dog, which is good. But no dog violence. Is it spoiler, maybe? Okay. I don't know. No, something that doesn't happen.
That's
that
the kind of spoiler I like, because then maybe I could just jump straight to John Wick 2.
Yeah, you would lose absolutely nothing. In fact, I got bored during John Wick 2 because how much, you know, it's all people getting shot in the face and with some grappling and some story, but the story is horrible and everything about not someone not getting punched in the face, a shot in the face or grappling is horrible, basically. They just, I don't know. All those scenes are just bad.
You seem to be in a very sharp minority on this John Wick
scene. I know.
Yeah. But that scene that's in the trailer where he's talking to the bartender about guns, is that in the movie?
I haven't seen the trailer, I don't think.
It's basically just really bad dialogue about him wanting something bold in the bartender.
Yes, hands
him
a all gun. The dialogue is bad, basically. And the plot makes no sense.
That was rough.
Yeah, that's probably in there then. But people are going to say, you know, but the action is good. I totally agree the action is good. I really love action movies where they pull back and they let you see the grappling, see the fighting. A lot of these modern ones, there's like a lot of zooming in and out and quick cuts. This doesn't have that. You can see everything. But I found it really exhausting. Like, how much of that can you really watch? And the answer for me is not as long as this movie is. But I know I'm in the minority on this. It's got like a 90-something on Rotten Tomatoes. But I don't know. I found it boring. So sue me. I don't know what to tell you.
Can I sue you for this? Is this something I can do?
You can complain on Twitter. Is that like a lawsuit? Yeah, I don't know. Mrs. Cheapy agreed with me, by the way.
Okay.
So not alone, but
I saw something different in the theaters.
What's that?
I saw Resident Evil: The Final Chapter.
Nice.
So yes, people can get upset that I didn't see John Wick, and that I saw the sixth Resident Evil movie. I think is
yes.
Broad.
Yep.
Have you seen any of these?
I tried watching one. I don't know which one, but it just seemed so budget that I gave up pretty fast.
There's definitely some budget.
Budgetness.
Wombat, have you seen any of these?
Resident Evil movies?
Yeah.
I saw the first one, and I may have seen parts of like another one. The one where she dresses up like one of the characters in the game. Doesn't that happen at some point? Mila Jovovich almost looks like a character in the game.
Well, I mean, you're talking about Alice?
Yeah.
Alice isn't in the games, is she?
No, she's never been in the games.
Where I've seen all of the movies, but not played all the games.
No, you know? She has, as far as I know, has never been in the games.
Okay. Because there's definitely characters from the games that are in these.
Yeah, movies. Doesn't Jill Valentine show up in, is that two or three that she's in?
I cannot keep them straight.
Because I think that's the other one that I've seen.
Claire Redfield's in there.
Yeah.
You got Wesker.
Yeah. But I saw the first one. Actually, I watched the first one again recently. So, because it was on and I was home.
That's the perfect thing to do with these movies.
Yes. I was on. It was on. I was home. I was the only person in the house, which is the only way I could watch that movie. Because the first
You don't want to watch this movie with any other human being.
Because, I
watched this in a theater with two other people that I did not know.
I can't watch. Well, my kids can't watch the first Resident Evil movie.
I mean, how much do they like nightmares?
Yeah, exactly.
I find this, it's something is enjoyably watchable about these Resident Evil movies. it feels like the people who are making them like care about putting out a quality movie on budget. Like there's definitely budget constraints.
But sometimes that's the challenge. That challenge in itself does lead to entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that.
It very much also feels like you could only watch if you've only seen the first movie. This one could be like a sequel to it. Like you could completely skip all the movies in between and go straight to this one and be completely up to speed and get a lot of the callback stuff as well. There's definitely some ATSTs it's going on in this. So
nice.
I don't know. I had a free ticket because I bought one of the other movies on Blu-ray recently because it was cheaper than buying a movie ticket.
Nice. Work in the system.
Right.
Well, you guys got to watch John Wick 2 so we can have a spoilerific discussion about it.
Can we talk about Legion now?
Yeah. I just wanted to make fun of like the horrible plot holes. Yeah, Legion is awesome.
Legion is great. Because that's good. Let's talk about something that we enjoyed.
Yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed that Resident Evil movie.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, you watched it?
No, I watched the Resident Evil movie. You said, let's talk about something we enjoyed.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you watched Legion.
I enjoyed that.
I was almost surprised.
No,
I haven't watched Legion yet. Would I hate this or like this? Tell me about Legion.
Ooh, I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you. It's too trippy for you.
Too trippy for Ship, I feel.
You didn't see the Doctor Strange movie yet, have you?
I did.
Me? Yeah.
Oh, did you like Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I love Doctor Strange.
Then you might like Legion. Have you ever watched The Prisoner? The 1960s TV show The Prisoner?
No.
Okay.
I've seen Andy Griffith.
The Prisoner is a very good. I love that show. But anyway,
what about Happy Days?
It does. It does have some scenes that take place that might be the 70s. So, yeah. Happy Days could work. Legion is really good. It's very different from a lot of other TV shows about comic book characters, that's for sure. It's very well shot. It's like a movie. Yeah, it's a movie quality TV show. And the pilot episode is also really long. It's about an hour and a half. So it almost feels like a movie in itself. My only concern is that the pilot was so good, but it also feels very contained that I'm very curious to see where they go from here. Like if they can actually make a series that's as good as that single episode.
Yeah. How about Dan Stevens, who as the main crazy guy?
He's very good.
I was so mad at him when he left
Downton Abbey. Dan Stevens?
He was the guy from Downton Abbey. He played like the love interest of one of the main characters, and he wanted to get. He was on the show for maybe 3 or 4 seasons. And he decided he had enough and wanted to do movies or something, or just basically, I guess, anything but that show.
Oh, he looks like PewDiePie.
Well, on this, it depends what you're looking at. If you're looking at Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey or Dan Stevens from Legion, because they look like two different people, and I didn't even
recognize
them.
Or Dan Stevens in Beauty and the Beast that comes out soon.
Right. That, yeah. Anyway, he was really good in Legion, and
yes.
I enjoyed his performance a lot.
Yeah, he's great in the show. It's all around, it's a very good show. It's just, again, I'm concerned on them being able to maintain that. Like, it feels like it should be like a more of a miniseries than a series.
Right. How can they keep up this type of quality? Basically.
Yeah,
it looks too expensive. Like, how could they keep it up?
Rumors of a New Mutants TV series and what they're doing with that. And I mean, if you're asking me, what I would do is they should maybe just have Legion build to a New Mutants TV series and kind of connect the two, because then you're not forced to maybe water down this good story arc and just move into the next one that may not necessarily have to connect. But what do I know? I'm not the showrunner on this. So
you're not?
No.
Thanks for the Dan Stevens links, by the way.
I don't need to see pictures of him.
What are you doing? Oh, he's putting up PewDiePie comparisons. I know what PewDiePie looks like. How could you not? I mean, there's been like 5,000 stories about him this week.
Yes.
It's the same dude. Are we sure that he just didn't like bail to go do this acting thing?
No, he's not that smart. Or maybe he is. I don't know.
Wow.
Look at those two pictures. Go back and forth on those two pictures.
I know, I did.
I don't want to.
You're not wrong. Wow.
And I think Dan seems a little bit better looking. And by a little bit, I mean a lot of it.
It's practically the same dude.
You can scroll through these various pictures of these two guys.
I don't know.
And
I think maybe you two might have that disease where everyone looks the same.
you could put these guys like on a, like, if you just put a bunch of these pictures like one after another.
Now, if you told me that like Dan Stevens was PewDiePie's handsome brother, then I would be like, sure, I can see the resemblance. But to say that they look the same is insanity.
Ship, just find a good picture of Dan Stevens and tweet it out with a story about PewDiePie and see if anybody notices. I'm guessing no.
Right. Oh, amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. We're giving you all the big stories here on the Gagcast. I also saw Justice League Dark, which is...
How is that?
It's okay. It's not as... You know, they've made so many good ones, but the last few have just been sort of...
I was
going to
say, it feels like it's been a while. Kind of like Valve, where they don't make AAA games anymore.
No, not like that at all. You know, you got Batman in here. It's basically, it's Constantine is the main character in the movie, and it's basically mostly magic stuff happening, and Batman's out of his element, and they're fighting.
Wasn't that Keanu Reeves as well?
Yes, it was. Okay. They're fighting demons and stuff, and there's a poop monster in it. So I really enjoyed the poop monster. I think our fans would enjoy it. That scene alone might be worth it for some people. It wasn't bad. It didn't have a great story like some of the other movies.
They didn't flesh out the poop monster?
He wasn't a main character.
The poop monster?
Swamp Thing is in it.
Speaking of poop, I like Swamp Thing. That's a good movie too. Swamp Thing.
A good movie?
Yes. The first one, John Carpenter's Swamp Thing. Yes.
Oh, that one. What about the other one?
Second one, Swamp Thing 2, Return of the Swamp Thing. I like Return of the Swamp Thing. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying I like Return of the Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
It's two different statements.
Also, Ty decided that he wanted to watch The Simpsons with me.
Okay.
So we started
Episode 1.
What's that?
Started episode one.
So I haven't watched this. I've watched a lot of Simpsons over the years. You know, all of them up to a certain year. I just don't remember what year. But so episode one is the Santa's Little Helper episode.
Yeah. It's not the best.
It's pretty depressing.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
It's super. In fact, the first three episodes...
It doesn't really get funny and, you know, like funny like you remember it until, I mean, really season two. And even then, doesn't get great. It's not like a next level amazing until really season four.
Yeah. So we may have to skip ahead because Ty was like on the verge of tears. Literally, the first three episodes are all depressing. It's all something.
Well, I mean, that's what it was originally. Like, if you look at the Tracy Ullman skits.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And no one really wants to see Dr. Marvin Monroe.
That one I consider one of the more uplifting ones.
That's one of the better ones. I know, where they electroshock each other. Yep.
But it's super depressing. It's also super. But at least they get they get money at the end. Mm-hmm. They made some money.
Isn't Bleeding Gums Murphy season one?
Yeah, that's the next episode. That's episode after five, that. I believe.
And then is it Mr. Bergstrom after that?
That I don't know.
Okay.
But if you have FX, they have a whole app that just handles that shit.
He's watched the monorail episode with me, and he's watched the coyote episode with me.
Yeah, we may need to skip ahead because
you don't. There's, it's, you know. there's not really continuity. There is character development in The Simpsons.
Right.
That happens over time, but I don't necessarily think Ty would be missing out by,
no.
you know, gradually understanding the growth of the relationship bonds between Bart and Homer and how it reflects the social norms between fathers and sons from the early 1990s through the late 2000s. I don't think he needs to know that yet.
It is interesting to see how it changes.
Oh, yeah. No, it's incredibly interesting to see how it changes, how they go from, you know, disdain and hatred to this sort of like to a legitimate bond where they, you know, thoroughly enjoy each other's company, which is, you know.
Well, Homer is really mean in the beginning.
Yeah. That's yeah. And it's
just like a mean, he's flashes of like okayness, but mean, mostly mean. Yeah. So
yeah.
Eventually, he just becomes a total goofball.
Yeah, he becomes a goofball. He becomes, you know, someone who plays, who wants to, you know, spend time with his son.
Right.
Yeah. Even if it's misguided, you know, a good episode, the Soapbox Derby episode is a good example of that.
Mm-hmm. Long live Simpsons. Although I haven't watched it in so long.
Yeah.
Anything for Read This Bitches? Anyone reading anything?
I'm almost to the end of Console Wars. I have like 2 hours left.
Nice.
I think Sega's going to pull it out.
Put all your money.
I will also say that Blake Harris's interview with the lead actor from the movie Airborne on Slash Film is definitely worth a read.
Airborne is skateboard or roller hockey?
Rollerblading movie, yes. Set in Cincinnati.
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Filmed in Cincinnati.
Well, yes, set and filmed in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. They didn't pretend to be in Cincinnati.
Hey,
they should film it in L.A.
New York.
They could have filmed it in, like, Vancouver, where they film everything.
Oh, that was that now, though.
Yeah. No, Cincinnati was a hotbed back then. We had Rain Man and other things.
And Airborne. But now,
we did have, like, a resurgence back then. But Airborne was, like, yeah, it was, like, a big... It's like a tourism movie for Cincinnati now.
Is really? It a big People deal? Still... I actually meant to ask you that. Is Airborne still a big deal in Cincinnati?
No, it's not a big deal in Cincinnati, but it's like most people probably don't even know about that movie.
That's a good movie. And by good, I mean terrible.
It's a really good movie for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The it's Devil's
young,
Backbone.
Young Seth Green and young Jack Black?
Yeah, they're in there.
Mm-hmm.
The Devil's Backbone is probably one of my most memorable like locations from childhood. It's completely like made up, but like for as far as like movie locations, Devil's Backbone was pretty great. That was the scene that there was like a 30-minute continually downhill rollerblade race at the end of that movie.
Yes, there is. They did it last week on How Did This Get Made, which is why he wrote about it. Blake Harris wrote about it. So, there
I need
you go.
To go watch Airborne.
Go for it.
We don't have that many movies that are set in Cincinnati.
That's okay. There aren't that many movies set in New York either.
Mm-mm.
How about some...
Kong. That was the last one, right? 1933, King Kong.
What? That was the last AAA movie that New York had.
Yep, that's it.
No, you forgot about the Ghostbusters reboot.
Man, that movie was so disappointing.
King Kong was the last AAA movie that New York had.
Didn't they film that in Boston, though?
What? The Ghostbusters. I thought you were talking about King Kong. I'm like, no, of course not.
No, why would I talk about King Kong when I could talk about the Ghostbusters
reboot? I think you're thinking
about
Real World Boston, which is set inside an old firehouse. I think that's what you're thinking about.
Probably. Sounds right.
Isn't that guy, that's the one with the guy who's now a senator, right? Is that Boston?
What's his name?
Sean Duffy?
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. He's a tool. Anyway.
I'm not familiar.
You could Google him and be disappointed in humanity.
I'm familiar with Officer Duffy from RoboCop 2.
There you go.
He was on the take. He was not a good cop. New releases.
Yeah. Yes.
For Honor came out. That's a big name game.
I played the beta the other day, so I could talk about it. I
played some of that beta.
Great. Mm-hmm. You two talk about it.
Amongst ourselves.
It definitely has a little bit of a learning curve. You know, the characters. Yeah, a lot of it. It's all about your stance and when to block. And, you know, I played really just like the one-on-one stuff. But it kind of has a little bit of like a Bushido Blade quality to it because the matches can be really quick.
You were playing just one-on-one?
Yeah, I did some of the one-on-one fights there just to kind of.
Okay. Yeah. That's not the, you know, that's not the main.
I don't know. That's what I was playing. Mode. That's what it kept steering me to when I was doing the beta.
I
do this to get upgrades. I'm like, oh, yeah, I want upgrades.
You didn't play any of the, like, the big battle?
I don't know. What are you doing stuff? There? I did the one where you just, I did one of those. You just kill a bunch of, like, little guys, right?
No, that was just the tutorial.
It's a MOBA, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like a MOBA-esque.
Right.
MOBA-ish. Where you're controlling points. I know, Shipwreck, you love controlling the points, Ship.
It's got all of the points, A, B, and C?
Yes, it does have an A, B, and a C.
Ye old A, ye old B. No. Yeah, it's got that. So there's also computer-controlled players, like AI, just like MOBA? Dota? Mm-hmm. MOBA?
Yeah,
or like a Titanfall type of thing as well.
Does Steam make one of those kind of games? Valve? Do they make
yes.
one?
Yes. Dota. 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 MOBA. Dota MOBA. So, but yeah, but the guys follow. It's not like that. It's not like Titanfall because they follow a path and it's like a wall of guys basically. And so you're sort of moving your wall of guys forward on the battlefield to control your favorite zones.
So like a Dynasty Warriors type thing then.
Yeah, sort of like that. It's I had a good time playing it. Clearly, there were some players who were more skilled. I mean, I got some kills, though, and knocked a few guys off the cliff, which is kind of fun. I enjoyed it.
Is there a single player, or is it just straight up multiplayer?
You can play just against the computer, you know, like but it's just the two-player. It's just the multiplayer game with no other people.
Well, no, it's a story mode campaign. What's that?
Is it? All right. I'll take your word for it. Is it any different than...
Story mode. There's a story mode campaign.
I thought it was just the multiplayer stuff. Just...
So 6 hours. 6 hours of something.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. There's three. Okay. So it's broken down into, you know, you play as each faction.
They're not doing a very good job of marketing this game because I'm very confused.
I think that
what it is.
The focus.
There's
is
also
on
like
multiplayer.
Four different versions of it, and it feels like a microtransaction game.
Well, MOBA-ish.
It feels like microtransaction. The game.
What isn't this day? Like, who's not putting out? Who's putting out a $60 game that's costs? I don't know how much this game costs, but. More than $50 million.
There's a $60 version and there's a $100 version.
No, I mean to make the game. Who's putting out a AAA game and not trying to build in some sort of card loot system at this point? You're just losing money. You're leaving too much money on the table by not. Like, who? You just can't. I mean, Gabe can. Do I have to now, like, everything that I say, I have to add, like, but Gabe could do it?
Yeah, but they don't make any games anymore, so...
But he could conceivably do it. Right. I don't know. I want to buy this game, but I'm just so backlogged right now.
Wow.
But, and then when I do get it, I'm going to be shitty because everyone's going to have had the game.
By the time you've caught up on everything and it's time to play this, Mass Effect will be out. And that's going to have like a real single player, like a big story mode that's... gonna probably be more might be more worthwhile is my guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But I'm playing another game that came out this week. Anyway.
Yeah.
I've been playing Sniper Elite 4. That game isn't all microtransaction-y. That game, I mean, it has like some DLC packs, but you don't need them.
But it's a single player game.
But it's a single player game. It has multiplayer in it, but yes, it's really all about the single player. And it's good. I was a big fan of Sniper Elite 3, which I enjoyed thoroughly. This is, you know, a better version of that game. You know, they've fixed a lot of what made that game frustrating. And just
not
kind
enough
of
testicle shots.
There are still testicle shots. There's still the cool slow-mo when you get someone good and you see the bullet go through their skull or their balls or skull balls.
Have they added any new ridiculous kill animations like that? Like, can I shoot a bullet in through some guy's rectum, like right through his anus?
I haven't done that, but I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying I haven't done it, so I don't know. They did add like a skill shot. So if you could get like this one, like each level now is a larger open world, and you know, like a self-contained large map, and you could do the objectives in any order. I've done the first four levels, and it's really a fun way to do it. Like, you know, I just the level I did last night, I just went around and did like there was like six little things to do around the edges before going into the center and tackling the two missions that were there that were the main missions. So it's just kind of fun to like sneak around and snipe dudes when you can, or stab a guy in the neck or whatever. They're Nazis. They deserve it.
Side missions, like zoom in on these guys' testicles. Mark the target's testicles.
Mark the target's testicles. Take them out. Take out the tank. I like that. I like when you shoot the guy who's driving the tank through the little
the testicles
through the tiny window.
Skill shot. You get him right through the fucking tank gun. Bullet goes. You see the bullet ricochet off the inside of the big tank gun. And off the inside of the tank cockpit, and then eventually it goes right through the guy's testicles. Skill shot.
I posted a screenshot today on Twitter from me playing last night, where I shot a guy while he was climbing through a window.
I saw that.
And he's just like slumped over with his head fell on his knee. I'm like, yep, that's funny. I'm taking a screenshot of that.
What are you playing that on?
I'm playing that on the Xbox One.
It looks good.
It does. It does look good. It looks great. It plays well. It's still, like I said, if you were a fan of this series and you played the last one, and it's also like, it's a good change of pace game. You know, it's interesting because this is the third stealth action game I've played in a row. Having gone from Dishonored 2 to Deus Ex to Sniper Elite, I may have to take a stealth break for a little while.
Right.
But this game is different in the sense that, you know, in those other games, you get punished really for killing people. This game rewards you for killing people. So I kind of like that.
With nut shots.
You get experience points for killing people. You can't get, you probably could go through this level without killing anyone, I guess. But why would you want to?
Right. Well, so, let me know about new kill animations for next week's show.
I will make an attempt to shoot someone straight up their rectum before the next episode, just for you. I mean, I've done a nut shot. I just haven't done the rectum shot.
Do you think if you get him in the rectum, it'll say on the screen, "Wrecked him"?
Yeah, I think that should be an achievement if it isn't.
All right, what else we got here? Anything else?
I've been playing some of Typo Man Revised on Xbox One.
All right.
You guys are not familiar with this game.
I have no idea what that is.
Okay. It's an indie game that was out on, I believe it came out for Wii U first. And then it came out on Steam. They came out with this revised version that like updated it somewhat and made it better. It's very much inspired by Limbo. It's a puzzle platformer that has that same kind of monotone gray, black, white look to it, and same kind of overall like setting and tone as well. But they like your character is made out of letters, and all of the like stuff that's trying to kill you is made out of letters, and all of the puzzles you're trying to solve are made out of letters. And so, like, say you come up to like some spikes that are like I don't know, doing the Mario thing of going up and down and trying to smash you, whatever a smasher would be. If you like find some letters and you put them together to spell stop, then that interacts with the environment and the smasher stops and you can get by.
I'm watching a video right now. Yeah, it does look a lot like Limbo.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no way to not say Limbo when you look at this game.
Limbo. You're right.
Yep. You probably can spell Limbo in the game, I'm guessing.
And it turns into Limbo fully.
Yeah. But it's pretty good. It's nowhere in the league of Limbo, but it's a novel idea. And I think it's pretty short. I think there's only 3 chapters, and I'm almost at the end of chapter 2. So it's only like a few hours long, but I don't know. It's definitely interesting. It's my type of game because I like platformers and I like word games. I wish the controls were a little bit more responsive because I kept trying to pick up this pea and it was not working for me.
Did you try a cup?
I tried everything, Wombat.
How about a mop?
The pea would not come.
Ew.
Gross. That was a Typo Man revised, rather, in case people wanted to know. People say we got to say the game names more often, especially if it's a weird game like that involves picking up P. They're going to be interested in that. Anything else here? I know people are writing in to tell me there's a new VR ping pong game for PS4.
Really?
But I read the Steam reviews. It's been out on Steam. And people seem to like it, but one of the reviews was a guy from a guy who plays ping pong pretty seriously, and he said he wasn't impressed. He said it didn't really feel like ping pong at all. And also, it's another budget VR game, production-wise. This is supposed to be pretty glitchy and stuff. So I'm going to pass on that and just stick with the real ping pong until they've... But there's another one called... I think it's called 11. That's supposed to be pretty good. That's out on Steam. So maybe we can get that over to PS4. But I'm not going to even waste $20 on this one. Anything else? Bloody boobs, anyone?
I did watch the video for that. Bloody boobs for PC.
Oh, that's a real game. Bloody boobs.
Yeah, it's a... Get a scantily clad... woman, big-breasted woman, and you were in a dungeon trying to get out.
I mean, I would Google that, but I don't want to Google bloody boobs.
I just did.
I just watched the Steam page.
It's got mixed reviews. People seem sort of satisfied.
Maybe I get, like, UK porn. Is that what I would get?
No, you're going to get the game. Yeah. Bloody boobs. That's what I got.
Did you buy it right now, just right while we were talking?
No, it looks... crappy. It looks like it should cost $2.
Right.
And I don't really care about seeing video game boobs. Why would I pay for that? I don't pay to see real boobs. Why would I pay to see video game boobs? And bloody ones. I certainly don't want to see bloody boobs. Can we talk about that? Who thought that was a good idea? How about like Sunny Boobs? How about that game? That I could be interested in.
Sunny Boobs.
I don't know. Something that's happy. Puppy boobs? I don't know. I'm not.
You lost me.
I'm not a game developer. It's not my
job.
Clearly. Anything else? New releases?
I think we're good.
Yes, we are good. All right, let's move on to multi-platforming and Wombat's Overwatch Onslaught. Any Overwatch news that I forgot to put on here?
A lot of people are playing it. That's all I know.
Yeah, the Chinese New Year event just ended.
Yeah.
And I bought I spent my hard-earned Overwatch cash on the Roadhog intro where he's eating the dim sum and then he passes out eating dim sum.
Sounds like a great story mode.
It's not the story mode. It's the intro, the highlight intro. You know,
I thought that was the story mode.
If you get the play of the match... You know, it shows a little highlight intro for your character. Play of the game, excuse me. And
I know what it is.
On the odd chance that I might get the play of the game with Roadhog or any character, will all enjoy the dim sum sequence.
You're a man of the people.
Yes. I spent like 750 Overwatch coins on that, I think. Anyway, E3, there's some new E3 news, Shipwreck.
Yeah, did we talk? Last week we talked about opening to the general public. Mm-hmm. So this week, Microsoft has announced that their press conference is in the middle of the day on Sunday this year.
Can't wait to watch from home.
Are you going to be able to make it to this, Cheapy? Are you going to adjust your flight? Because you usually get in around noon or so.
I usually get in around 1, yeah. So
right.
I would come earlier, I guess.
Or a day earlier.
Not doing that.
Sleep on the street overnight.
No, I'm going to just, I think I'll save the money and time away from my family and just leave a little earlier. I think I can solve that problem.
Or you could do a red eye, like leave like 2 a.m. on whatever that would be, Sunday.
You gain the time. Like I leave here at 7 and I'm going to get there at 9 a.m. Yeah. I already got my flight.
Yeah, I'll be okay. Because there's some time. I don't need to be at the airport that early. It's going
to
be okay.
Interesting that they decided to move that. Like this, so EA's thing starts on Saturday now. EA Play out in Hollywood.
That's their press conference also?
I would assume so.
Or just their, who knows?
I mean, it's their whole event.
Their whole event.
So I would assume that their press conference will be on Saturday because that's usually how you open up one of these events so that when you let people in, they can go
and see the games that you just announced. Yeah.
Right. So they're doing their EA thing, which isn't part of E3, way over in Hollywood. Then, and that's like Saturday through Monday,
10th through the 12th. It says,
yeah. Then Microsoft is having their press conference on Sunday. I'm assuming that Sony will still be the following day. They usually have theirs on like late Monday afternoon.
Yeah. They have their dinner.
What's happening all these other times? Like it seems like this thing's getting way spread out and they're adding more people, but there's really not any more content. It's just the people are spreading out the time on these things.
Well, I don't know. Have fun. That's my answer to you. I told you what you should do. I told you you should all just fly. You should fly to New York and we'll all
sit. Who wants to go to fucking New York?
That sounds like it sucks.
And then we'll hang out in Cheapy's living room and we'll watch together and live stream it.
This sounds like this is only beneficial to you, Wombat.
It is only beneficial to me. I don't understand why this is a confusing thing.
I like to go to LA once a year. I like it. It's fun.
It's beneficial to be there as well because you do get to get your hands on games and you get to talk to people and we get a lot of content out of that week for the remaining year of CatCast.
Right. It's like jacking into the Matrix.
Have fun jacking in.
What else we got here? Was that it for our E3 talk?
I hope so.
It's not till June.
We have
more
time
to talk about E3.
Oh, good. Oh, it's late already. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Should we talk about PewDiePie?
Sure.
I guess everybody's talking about PewDiePie. He made some bad jokes.
Apparently,
I'm putting in quotes.
Nine times. Is that what it was? Nine instances.
Okay. Yep. And so YouTube canceled his YouTube Red show, and the company that Maker?
Yeah,
Kicked him off.
Which is owned by Disney.
Right. Yeah. Got rid of him, and he doesn't get like the good high level brand safe advertising mark anymore. I don't think it's gonna affect him too much. He's getting a lot of press out of it, that's for sure.
So and how much wasn't he making, like $20 million a year or something?
16, I think.
Okay. For how long?
Does it matter? He's got
it's
enough.
It's been a while.
Right? So you think like he could just
Yes, he's good to go. Listen, he doesn't need to.
Can he just tell everyone to go to hell and just
go
back to wherever he's from? And
no, why would he do that? Why doesn't he just keep doing what he's doing? He's going to keep doing that. He's still going to make money. He's still making money from YouTube.
Yeah, I guess even if he was making half that, it would still be worth it.
Of course, of course, of course. So a horse? I don't, you know, of course, a horse, a horse. He gets paid in horses.
Hopefully he learns something from this, because
yeah, he's going to learn to not sign contracts with Disney anymore.
Well, no, I think it's just poor judgment on his part. Like, it's difficult with these YouTube personalities because they get such a huge following of like that younger generation, and there's no like they're just on their own. I mean, this is just a guy, so there's nothing to prevent him from just like going off and influencing all of these kids with this what he views as a joke, but could be interpreted otherwise, obviously.
Right. I certainly know that there are like third and fourth graders watching his videos.
Yeah. Yeah. I know one of my nieces, I mean, she's a little bit older than that now, but I mean, she's been watching him since she was, in third and fourth grade. Now she's probably in middle school, but yeah, she has been watching him for years and years. And so just like, well, yep, he has influenced her life greatly. And maybe this whole YouTube personality thing for kids isn't the best idea.
I don't let Ty watch any of that shit. I let him watch the song parodies. Like the guys make Minecraft song parodies of pop songs. Mm-hmm. But that's it. Because the other stuff is just...
Well, you get into... First of all, you have no idea what the person's going to do. Unless you screen all the videos. And then secondly, as soon as that video is over, something that YouTube has picked as related is coming on next.
Death to Jews, the movie?
Right, right. You have... I'm sure there's like some YouTube Kids version out there.
There is. There's YouTube for Kids as an app.
Great. I'm sure that has plenty of stuff you don't want as well.
It's a lot of Disney stuff. But yeah, like, you know, it's tough because Sabrina loves Dan TDM.
Yeah, yeah. Ty likes that. Ty, I know that. It's a Minecraft person, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what she watches. She also likes, I think it's a Cupquake. She's this woman with purple hair. And that's...
Yeah. I don't want to watch. I don't want to I don't want to screen it. I don't want to screen any of that stuff. So I
no,
just
it's really not.
It.
I don't find any of it entertaining.
Exactly.
But yeah, yeah.
I'll say this about the whole PewDiePie thing because certainly it's been talked about to death. I would say more likely than not, he's probably not a Nazi. He probably is a guy or a young man who had astonishing success. Has astonishing success now, but has had it for years now, and he's only 27 now. I don't know like how most people would handle that type of fame and success at that early age. I certainly know myself at 27. I didn't know a lot. I did a lot of dumb things and thought a lot of dumb things. And certainly I didn't have like live in an echo chamber like he does now where he's got millions and millions of fans telling him how great he is. And when he does these anti-Semitic jokes and gets a good response, I guess he keeps doing them. Anyway, maybe when he gets older, when he reaches his 40s, he'll learn that that's dumb. I'm guessing he's going to learn before then though. My point is he's still pretty young, Wombat. Don't expect too much. Don't expect too much. Why would you?
I don't
stick
know.
With him, Wombat, is what we're saying.
Stick it out. Yeah, sure.
No? You don't buy that? You don't just subscribe to that at all? No, really?
No, 27 isn't a child.
But it's not the fact that he's 27, Wombat. It's the fact
that he hates Jews.
No, it's not that. It's put yourself, say like you've been making millions of dollars.
It's that I don't think he understands that what he said is wrong.
That's fine. Right. Okay. That's fine.
No, I think he understands it's wrong. I just think he thinks it's a joke.
Yeah. I don't think those are
two conflicting things, I think. He thinks it's wrong because
he's being wrong. I don't know. I'm not speaking for him, but I feel like he could be wrong on purpose. He's trying to get like a shock joke. So he knows it's wrong, but he's like trying to be funny about it.
Right. And he just doesn't know any better to not do that. I think he's probably right. Not.
I think the real question is how does he make $16 million a year? And I'm still doing this stupid show with you guys. Where did I go wrong?
Look what he looks like. Dan Stevens. Look what we look like.
He doesn't look like Dan Stevens.
He is Dan Stevens.
He looks like if someone took Dan Stevens and put him on Monster Factory with the McElroy brothers.
No, he's a lovely looking young man. I watched the video that he did with H3L3 Productions. It was very funny.
All right.
But I don't know. I just think that when you get that type of success, you know, your brain can go crazy. I wouldn't
be thankful you're grounded, Wombat, and you've never had that level of success.
I meant H3 Productions, not H3L3 Productions. Yeah, I mean, just imagine, Wombat. Imagine you're 20 or so. I guess he's been doing this for a long time now, right? Let's say he started when he was 20. Imagine you're a 20 and you're a fucking superstar. All you do is make fucking stupid video game videos and you're making millions of dollars. Now you're 20 and now you continue to do this for several years and get more and more popular. You can't say.
You get bored. You get bored and want to up the ante.
Right. You can't say what's going on in your head. Nobody can say until they've had that experience happen to them or even something, a fraction
You're
of that
very
experience.
Defensive of him.
I'm not defending him. I'm just saying I could see. You know how like child celebrities turn out, right? It's usually.
Yeah.
Not,
I'm just saying it's like you're very quick to forgive. That's all.
Forgive.
I'm a forgiving person.
Yeah. He didn't do anything to me personally. I don't think he really
make a video called GPT sucks balls.
He wouldn't be the first one to make that video. He'd be the second.
I think it's easier to pile on him than to try to forgive him. Like I'm hoping that he learns something from it and then becomes a better person. I want everybody to be a better person.
And if he doesn't,
especially you.
There's no way I view somebody like that, like PewDiePie, who's experienced his life and consider him like a mature adult. It's impossible. Unless he's had amazing parenting and continued guidance, it seems highly unlikely that you could be that evolved as a person to make all the right decisions when you're in a situation like that.
I just don't feel the need to make excuses for a 27-year-old man. But if you, regardless of circumstance.
I'm putting myself in that position.
Hey, whatever.
That's all I'm saying. As someone who may not be as big a YouTube star as PewDiePie, but I did have that PlayStation unboxing video or something. No, the Xbox video was bigger. the towel trick video.
Towel trick.
Yeah, that has like 2 million views.
I know, you're a superstar.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
wait till you see that ad revenue from that you made.
Yes. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. You understand my point, Wally. You don't agree.
I do understand your point. I stopped caring like 15 minutes ago. Fine. I also haven't slept in 2 days.
Right. All right. Let's finish up a few more things, Wally. Hang in there, man. Hang in there.
I'm doing my best. I'm really trying.
Do it for PewDiePie.
Oh, I'm so loopy. Anyway, yes.
So remember, I told you I bought Ty Skylanders Imaginators, but didn't give it to him because he had too many Hanukkah gifts already. And
because you hate your son, yes, we remember.
So he hasn't been doing that great.
You're like season one Homer.
Right. I don't strangle him that much. Not every, you know, two minutes. We try to motivate him to study harder for his Japanese school on Saturday. So he's got a kanji test every Saturday, and I said if he got above an 85 or an 85 or higher, I would buy him Skylanders. I didn't tell him that. I had it already gift wrapped sitting in the boiler room
for months now.
So, of course, the kid figures out exactly what he needs to do to get an 85, exactly how many words he needs to get right, and studies exactly that amount and gets exactly an 85. So he got the Skylanders, and I played it with him, and it's really a very high-quality game. I was really impressed. I feel like a lot of adult games should have a lot of the features in this game because It's focused on character creation, and there's some cool stuff in there that we don't see in games like Skyrim or Fallout that I think could be pretty cool. Like, Ship, you've played this game, so you know, like, mm-hmm. you can give your custom-made characters their own tagline that they speak by selecting two different boxes. You know, so it'll be like, hail to the... And then you select another box. Chief, monkeys, dog face, you know, whatever. You can make something fun. You can change the voices and have different effects on them. It gives you a really like a lot of options to create a unique character. I don't know. It seems like mini.
It's a great game, and you don't need a ton of characters to beat it. So,
and I like that when you play two players, it's no split screen. It's always on one screen. It seems, at least what I've played so far, mm-hmm. Which is nice. The graphics look really good, at least on PlayStation 4. I don't know. I was really impressed. It seems like a mini Diablo in a lot of ways, like an introduction to Diablo for
Didn't
children.
Didn't Ty already play Diablo with you? Does he see the?
No, he saw. I let him watch it for like a minute or two, but I don't think I let him play. We did play. Yeah, I eventually just thought that was a bad idea, and I stopped it.
Oh, that's fine. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That wasn't the point I was making.
No, he didn't bring that up because I don't think he remembers Diablo that much. But I could ask him.
He'd like this better, anyways.
Yeah. It's really well done.
I've been playing Castle Crashers with Sabrina.
Yeah, we did that.
She loves it.
Yeah, it's
the Xbox One remaster. We've been playing.
It's pretty bloody.
Yeah, it's cartoony.
Yeah, no, we've played that. It's fun. He did.
She's
like
not
that
a
too.
Baby.
I know.
She's 17 years old.
I'm telling you, the Skylanders Imaginators is pretty good. Keep an eye out for that when it gets cheap.
She would have no interest. I don't think she would care for the toys. I know that sounds so strange, but I just don't. I think she would shrug it off. She's like, I don't want to like do that. She wants to just be able to play the game.
Crash though, Crash.
This one's really not about the toys. It doesn't seem like they.
Because you
think
you make your
the
own.
The developers knew that people were getting burned out on buying all the figures, and they just wanted to make a good game. Because I beat it with everything that was in the starter pack. That's all I had, and I was able to beat the game.
Yeah. Well, the main emphasis of making your own character. So there's like you have to buy those crystals for each like type of character you
want
to make.
If you want. I only used the one crystal that was with the game.
Right, but I mean if you want to make a water dude and your thing came with a fire thing, then you got to go spend $10. I was impressed though. Seems like a quality game.
All right.
Nintendo news. Nintendo announced that Zelda's going to have a season pass. How much was that season pass? I forgot already.
$20.
20 big ones gets you. Didn't sound that exciting to me, but you know what? I'm not a Zelda guy per se, but you get a Zelda in-game Zelda Switch T-shirt for Link, yes, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
They're really all about that Switch. I mean, you've already bought the Switch. Why do you need the Switch T-shirt? But okay,
so you can be proud of it.
But you're in the. No one's gonna see. I guess you're gonna show it. I don't. It seems weird. Like
I don't know. What do I look like?
What's next? A McDonald's hat that says I'm loving it.
I'm staring at that hat.
I guess they could get some promotion from it if you're sharing screenshots or footage of the game. You're wearing the Switch shirt.
God,
I don't know.
I just put my McDonald's hat on.
I don't even know. Who cares? You already know. I don't want to read this shit. It's all
Dungeon. It seems like you're paying $20 for season pass. They're throwing in some bonus treasure chests that says it contains useful items. That's good.
Here's true. I thought it was going to contain worthless items. Right. Good thing you differentiated that for us. Thank you, Nintendo.
The first DLC pack seems really lame. It's got the Cave of Trials challenge, which has been in the games. The past games without DLC, it adds a hard mode, which okay, that doesn't really seem like a DLC type of thing either, and an additional map feature, which that, okay, that does not sound exciting either. So I think you're just buying this hoping that the DLC Pack 2, which has the original story and new dungeon and additional challenges, is what you're paying for.
I'm going to skip it, I think. I think I'm good.
I think I'm going to skip it too and wait to see if I want that DLC Pack 2 that's in winter 2017.
And how much they charge for that? Is it 10 and 10? And then, yeah, why would you buy the pass? Or is it like 5 and 15? Or is
it?
Oh,
you have to buy the pass.
Hard mode being part of a DLC pack is weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's just strange, especially for Zelda.
Wait, you're saying that Nintendo might be out of touch with what
consumers are accustomed
to? No,
I think this is them getting in touch. I think this is. They have a very, very lucrative strategy here with the Zelda
game. Oh, it's going to make a lot of money. They're going to sell a ton of season passes.
They're selling Switches just based upon this game. They're selling there's like 10 different amiibo that interact with this game. So that's like if you want all the amiibo that do various little things. It's nothing major, but There's 10 of them. That's $150 worth of amiibo that you can buy to connect with this game. And then you have this $20 season pass. They're going to make a ton of money on this thing. It's just, I like it from Nintendo's business strategy on this. They seem to be updating to a more modern strategy.
Good for them.
I stopped listening when I heard amiibo.
Yeah, it's fine.
But I know people like amiibo. All right, I think we should let Wombat go to sleep now.
Please.
Because he did that like a half hour ago.
He might have started already.
Oh, it's rough. It was a rough. Yeah, it was rough.
Rough. Is that Zelda?
Yeah. No. Huh? Who?
Let's give a shout out to your friend Christian Spicer. I bought his new comedy album, We're All Gonna Die. It was very funny. I listened to it on the train today.
Awesome.
It's not safe for work, let's say. but it was very funny. He's a funny guy. Mm-hmm. Go Spicy. Mm-hmm. And he also gets confused by the press secretary, for the press secretary, rather.
Yeah, on Twitter. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is really funny. So what else we got here? Follow us on Twitter at GPD, at New Wombat, at Shipwreck, at Video Game Deals. And did you do another podcast with
no,
Spicy?
I didn't do anything. Nope, not this week.
All right. Well, that's it. We will see you next week.
Right, son.
Officer Duffy, have a seat.
You look a little out of breath, bitch.
You sold us out, Officer Duffy.
What are you talking about, Murph?
Where is Kane?
I don't know any Kane. Oh.
No. Where is Kane?
I don't know.
Where is Kane?
I told you I don't know.
Where?
River Rouge, the old sludge plant.
You're a rotten cop.